we continue to pray for the families who have lost loved ones in the recent tragedies in Washington and Philadelphia with the airline and helicopter crash, and then the medevac jet that crashed, injuring a number of people, as well as the people perishing on the flight. So sad. So we do think about those left behind, do we not? Well, we began a very important study of the Holy Spirit 3 Lord's days ago, and so I wanted to go over what we've covered so far. We've studied what the Holy Spirit is not, and that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead with all the divine characteristics of God the Father and God the Word, who became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we studied the work of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God together, how they were doing the same thing. Thus the Holy Spirit used an instrument, which was the Word of God. And we've studied how Christians dwell in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and how all three members of the Godhead dwell in Christians, and that being through the Word of God. Consistency. Let's keep it that way. So this morning, let's study together the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we need to be doing that every day. So if you think about PFE, that should bring to our mind what is the most important thing we can be doing. And something else we want to mention right now is that we want to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we study, of course, God's precious Word in our Bible classes. As we come together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern that God gave us. Thus, in spirit and in truth, as you see in John 4:24. I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Oh boy, we are a friendly congregation, let me tell you. Now, something else to mention, and that is, we're always glad to answer Bible questions, and we appreciate comments, positive or negative. And something else, if you're interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We would love to set that up at your convenience. Also, as I mentioned before, if you have a topic that you're interested in having a series of sermons to deal with that, please let us know about that as well. So again, you can write to us, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And one other thing, our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get to our study this morning, as we're going to be looking at the baptism of the Holy Spirit from the Scriptures. So let us begin with point number 1. Christ was the administrator of the Holy Spirit baptism. So we know the Word was sent into the world, that is the second person of the Godhead, was sent into the world by God the Father, the first person of the Godhead, and the Word became flesh, John 1:14, as we know, and He became the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, after Christ ascended up into heaven, He sent forth the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to his apostles. As we go to John 1, verse 33, "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Spirit." Now the King James has Holy Ghost, but we're going to continue to use the term Spirit for ghost. Now you see, this is John the forerunner to Christ, John the Immerser, making this statement. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you," that is, to the apostles, Jesus is saying this, "that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto me, come unto you. But if I depart," now here it is, "I will send him unto you." That's the point we're making. Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to the apostles. Now, notice John 14, verse 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." In other words, the Father will send by the authority of Christ, as he had promised, Jesus will fulfill that promise. Now notice Luke 24, 49, we'll see that. "And behold," Jesus said, "I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So that makes it clear, doesn't it? Now, let's go to John 16. And look at verses 12 through 15. Jesus said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit will do that. Yes. So we need to understand that Christ was the administrator of the Holy Spirit baptism. And now, let's notice point number two. The Holy Spirit baptism was never commanded of anyone, but it was promised. We've already seen that it was promised to the apostles, so that's something to keep in mind. It was never commanded of anyone, but it was promised only to select ones. Now we know the apostles certainly were of those select ones. Yes, the 12 plus Paul. As we go to Matthew 3:11, this is John the Immerser again. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, which is Christ, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He," that is Christ, "shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Well, we don't want any part of that baptism. Note, we can go to other passages to identify the ones to whom the promise of the Holy Spirit baptism was made. Luke 24:33, "And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them." Now verse 44, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem unto you be endued with power from on high." So we know that the apostles were of those promised the Holy Spirit baptism. But let's go further into Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. the former treatises have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Did we note that? To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That's right. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That would be the church of Christ, of course. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. That's right. When they, therefore, were come together, that is, the apostles, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They're thinking of a physical kingdom. At this time, they're not right to think that way, but they will certainly be corrected. But you see that. Wilt thou restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here's an outline to the book of Acts, the beginning of the church and its growth, how the gospel spread throughout the uttermost part of the earth. But it had a beginning point. That was Jerusalem, wasn't it? Now notice Acts chapter 1, verse 26. It's important to see this because a lot of people are confused about who was present when the Holy Spirit baptism occurred there in Jerusalem in the upper room. Now notice verse 26. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell into Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now that's connected to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, as we're going to see. And the conjunction, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, who is they referring to? Has to go back to the previous verse, the 12 apostles. Matthias now is numbered with the 11. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, not real fire, but like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit immersed them. That's why it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, immersing them in the power of God. And what happened? And they began to do what? They began to speak with other tongues, that is, languages that could be understood, not gibberish, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power that Cornelius and his household received, here's also the subjects of the Holy Spirit baptism. Well, this was a measure of Holy Spirit baptism because they didn't receive the full power that the apostles did. So it wasn't identical to that of the apostles, but it was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit's power that Cornelius and his household received. And notice, it came in the same way, which was directly and suddenly from heaven. Now again, the apostles received the full measure. Cornelius and his household received power from the Holy Spirit, enabling them to speak in languages that they never studied, showing that the saving gospel was for the Gentiles too. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism upon Cornelius and his household. Look at Acts 10:34. This is when it took place. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He understands that the gospel of Christ is for the Gentiles. Yes, he certainly did, as well as the six witnesses who were with him, who were former Jews, now of course Christians, members of the Lord's church. So notice Acts 10, 44 through 48. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them which heard the word, that is Cornelius and his household, and they of the circumcision which believed, that is those witnesses with Peter, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, languages that they hadn't studied. And what happened? And magnified God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? They're ready for salvation. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now note, they were not saved by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That was not the purpose. Acts 11, verses 14 through 17. This will prove it. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? Speaking of the household of Cornelius, as Peter recounts what happened, as you see here in Acts 11. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he had said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Well, he couldn't. That's right. But you understand here, God gave them the like gift, not the same gift. They didn't have the full measure, as the apostles could lay on hands and pass on the nine miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. They had a remembrance of all that Jesus taught them. We've already seen those verses. Cornelius did not have that, nor did his household. So we need to understand the difference here. So, now let's go to point three, which is, after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were equipped for the great work which Christ had given them to accomplish. So I want us to see the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the apostles. Now we've seen it for Cornelius and his household, to show the former Jews that Gentiles are now acceptable for salvation. And that's God's will, and of course they were to accept that. Now, here's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the apostles. Number one, to show that they were with authority from Christ. Matthew 18, 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Number two, to be witnesses of Christ. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the apostles, so they would be witnesses of Christ. John 15, 27, and ye also shall bear witness. There it is. Because ye have been with me from the beginning, the apostles were. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth, as we mentioned that earlier, the outline of the book of Acts. Now, number 3, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to make them ambassadors of Christ. This applied to the apostles again. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us. Paul, the inspired apostle, stating, given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Point number four, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to guide them in all truth, as we've seen in the previous verses, John 16:13. Remember, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, the first part of the verse. But let's notice 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us, that is the apostles, all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So we have through the apostles the complete New Testament, the full revelation of God coming forth, the Old Testament, of course, having already been written, but now we have the complete revelation of God, which thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works, because it pertains unto all things of unto life and godliness. So let's appreciate that. So that was a purpose of Holy Spirit baptism. Number 5, to show them things to come. Another purpose of Holy Spirit baptism. Look at John 16:13 again as we continue on. And he will show you things to come. Yes, that's the latter part of the verse, isn't it? So that's a purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Here's an example. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively. Note that Paul is the inspired writer and an apostle, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That's the true faith, the system of faith from the Scriptures, not false teaching. Notice the departure here is described, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. Did you note that? And commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Who is that describing? The Catholic Church. They departed from the faith, started a new religion, put a man as the head of the church instead of Christ, forbid marriage for the nuns and the priest, can't eat meat on Friday. Remember, going to school, what do we have on Friday? Fish was available, wasn't it? They could eat that, but no meat. Now, this is showing them things to come. Number 6, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to cause the apostles to remember all that Jesus taught them. Who else has this ability? Only the apostles. John 14:26. But when the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, Jesus said it directly to them. We receive the words of Christ through the written word. They received it directly, and then the Holy Spirit caused them to remember all that Jesus taught them. Now keep that in mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:11-13. But what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's a passage proving inspiration. Number seven, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to confirm the gospel of Christ, which they preached and taught, was the truth from God. Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Verse 20, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Remember when Paul was bitten by a viper, shook it off into the fire. 1 Corinthians 14:22, "Wherefore tongues are for a sign, speaking in languages, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." So stop all that gibberish. That's not speaking in a language that can be understood for a sign. Notice, "But prophesying serveth not for them that believeth not, but for them which believe." Hebrews 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" Purpose number 8, to give the apostles full and complete inspiration, as we've already noted, 1 Corinthians 2. Yes, you'll want to study that further, beginning in verse 14, or 9 through 14, as this deals with how God revealed to them through the Spirit, "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Now, note, "The things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God, but we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." Again, we went over that a moment ago. So I'm going to go now to number 9 before we run out of time. I want to ask this question. It's very important. Did Cornelius and his household, or anyone else beside the apostles, have all these powers? What's the answer? If we're honest, we're going to say no. No one had the ability to speak in a language that they never studied. You have to study to learn another language. No one can do that today. Gibberish is not a language. No, that's just all worked up emotionally. But I want us to point this out. The Holy Spirit is a person. One cannot literally be immersed into a person. The one baptism today is the baptism of the Great Commission. Yes. We need to stay with what the Bible says, do we not? Ephesians 4:4, Matthew 28:18-20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel and studying with them further, that is, if they're of the age of accountability, of course. So we have to hear the truth, believe that Jesus is the Christ, and then we're ready to repent, make a change of wills, no longer staying with what we thought or what we were taught by someone meaning well, but we're going to stay with the Bible, what the Scriptures teach. And we're going to change our mind and think the right way, and get out of sin and do the will of God. Make the good confession unto salvation, and then we're ready to be immersed into a watery grave and contact the precious blood of Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.